Teachers, let's play a quick game. I am going to give you a mystery sound, and we are going to see if your mind can transport you back to what is it? What is making that sound? So tune in closely. Here we go. Do you know what that is? What is that sound? That clicking, that jangling brings me back to Friday night. That brings me back to my childhood when we would be doing family game night, because that wasn't the sound of ice in a cup. That was the sound of dice in a cup, because this is the sound of Yahtzee. Yahtzee, the dynamic dice game where you roll 5 dice in an effort to get a lot of points with a full house or a small straight, or unfortunately sometimes you have to take a chance. But the goal is to get all 5 dice with the same number on it to earn 100 points, and that's called a Yahtzee. Well, there's a lotsy that you can do with this exact same concept in your classroom. One of my most favorite things to do as a teacher are called class competitions. And some of the most played episodes of this Teacher Life podcast are episodes about class competitions using a wheel, using decks of Uno cards, and now a brand new competition. How I used the concept of Yahtzee to get a lotsy, that's a great pun, and I'm not stopping with that pun, a lotsy of engagement, a lotsy of participation. A lotsy of de-escalated behaviors, and it's exactly how I made my February freaking awesome, and I want you to make your April awesome. It's short, it's sweet, it's strategic, and it's super simple, and I know you and your students are going to love it. So let's get into the dynamic details of this simple dice game.
There is awesome in every single school day. So here is the big question. How can teachers like us, who love our job, love our students, and love being a part of education, celebrate awesome even more in our classrooms and learning communities? Where can we find teaching tips and tricks? Where can we find engaging stories and motivational strategies? That is the question, and this weekly podcast is your answer. So welcome to all my teacher friends. My name is Monica Genta, and I am so excited that you are here listening to this podcast, This Teacher Life. If you have never played Yahtzee in your life, don't worry. You can still totally use this idea. If you've played Yahtzee and you just don't like the game, also don't worry. You can still use this in your classroom. But if you're like me and you actually love board games, you don't get bored of board games, then I'm curious what your Yahtzee strategy is. Because every single time you play Yahtzee, each person playing gets to roll the dice 13 separate times. And the goal is to get 3 of a kind, 4 of a kind, full house, small straight, large straight. And of course, Yahtzee is the big prize. That's where you get the most points. Well, there's this rule in Yahtzee that if you get Yahtzee bonus, meaning that you get Yahtzee multiple times, you can get huge amounts of points for every single time after that first roll. So I'm going to tell you what my Yahtzee strategy is. I say, I don't care about getting all, you know, the 3 of a kind or the large straight. I'm going to try for Yahtzee every single time. That's my Yahtzee strategy. And sometimes it works out in a huge way. And sometimes I literally get last place. But in this competition in my classroom, what I did was I said, okay, here we are in February. February, as we know as teachers, is the shortest but also longest month of the year.
Tell me I'm wrong. I mean, right? Behaviors seem to be escalated. We're in the dead of winter. I live in the rural Midwest, so it's freaking freezing. Spring break is so far away. You're in third quarter, but it just feels like it's kind of dragging along. And so I knew that I needed something to pull me through that winter kind of depression that hits. But I also knew that my students were going to need something. This is mutually beneficial. And I think as teachers, when we can do things that are mutually beneficial for both students and for us, those are huge wins. That's when we really are able to crush it for kids. So in February, I decided to do a competition with a couple of my classes. And I have done Uno competitions. I've done spinning the wheel, spin and win competitions. But what I realized was I had never used the game of Yahtzee specifically, not this school year, not last school year. It's been a really long time. And I had never recorded a podcast episode about it either. And I was like, now's the time. Let's do it. Let's make February freaking awesome. So I rolled this idea out. The puns are just, I mean, Yahtzee, Lotsy. I don't know. Some of you are cringing on that one, but I'm going to keep going with it. Anyways, in this game of Yahtzee in my classroom, I had one class of seventh graders versus one class of eighth graders compete. That was kind of my target area. My high school class, they rock and roll, okay? My elementary classes are set up very differently. So this was specifically for seventh and eighth grade classes that I see during different periods of the day. If you have multiple class periods a day, you can create the competition amongst all of your class periods. If you see the same students all day, let's say you're a second grade teacher or a fourth grade teacher, what you can do instead of saying, hey, it's you versus you, you see the same kids all day. So what if you set a numeric target for the month that you have to earn 500 points by the end of the month? Now, if you do this in February, 500 points is going to be too small because February is really short. But since most of you are probably listening to this at the start of April, and so maybe you're going to do it in April or maybe you're going to make it a marvelous May with Yahtzee, I would say that if you are going to do this as a numeric goal, to set the goal somewhere between 400 and 500 points, and I'll tell you why at the end of the episode. But the goal is to get students the opportunity to roll the dice at the end of each class period, or if you're an elementary teacher, at the end of each learning block. And you can use real dice like this, okay? If you are not annoyed by that, bust out real dice and have them do it that way. But there's also just online interactive Yahtzee dice rollers that you can get from the internet. I will link the one that I specifically used, not sponsored, nothing like that, but I will just give you the link that I used because there are online ways that you can post on your smart board or your Promethean board, and it's interactive so kids can see the dice posted visually. All right. So in the game of Yahtzee, if you haven't played in a minute, you get up to three rolls. And the goal is to accumulate as many points as possible. A full house, which is two of one dice and three of another numerically, would be 25 points. A large straight would be a one, a two, a three, a four, and a five. So five dice in numerical order. And the whole thing was that kids, as class, as a whole class, only get to roll the dice at the end of the class period or the end of the learning block if they have met your expectation. And that's what makes this really, really special and really strategic, because you can adjust and you can adapt based off of your specific needs. So let me ask you this question. At this point in the school year, what is annoying you? What is making April annoying instead of April is awesome? Like, is it that kids aren't turning in their work? Is it that kids won't stop touching each other? Is it that kids are just literally like stonewalling you and you ask them questions and they just stare at you and there's lack of student engagement? Is it that their inappropriate language is just getting out of control? Is it that they are getting into physical or verbal altercations with each other? Like, what is it? What is currently annoying you? And that's what we're going to target in Yahtzee. We can make things a lotsy better using this game of Yahtzee. So, personal reflection. What is the one thing that if it changed right now, it could change everything in a positive way for your classroom, and set that as the target? Okay, that's your target. And then at the end of the class period or at the end of the learning block, you as the teacher get to decide, did we meet that goal? And here's what I think often happens in these class competitions if we don't monitor them carefully, is that we aren't super clear and we're not super consistent. Here's what I mean by that. Whatever is the expectation, I need you to be remarkably clear about what that expectation looks like, sounds like, and feels like. Like, they should know that the moment that they walk into your classroom or the moment that that learning block starts, exactly what they need to do in order to achieve the goal of rolling the dice at the end of the class period. Make it super clear what it looks like, what it sounds like, and what it feels like. So that's the clarity that your kids are going to need so that they know what standard they're working towards. And I think we also have to be consistent, because I think as teachers, we want to roll the dice too. We want there to be success. But then what happens is, like, we don't really meet the expectation, but we're like, okay, for today, we're going to roll. Hell nah. You got to be consistent. You can't give extra wiggle room on this, because tomorrow the wiggle room's going to get wider. And then the next day the wiggle room's going to get wider. And by Wednesday, it's going to be a full-blown disaster. And they're like, do we get to roll? And you're going to say no. And they're like, we did it yesterday and we got to roll. And then it goes into chaos. So, fun fact, teacher friends, how do we reduce the chaos in our classroom? We are clear and we are consistent. And when those things happen, guess what? Kids are going to rise up. Kids are going to level up. In the words of Sierra, level up, level up, level up. You know what I'm saying? Okay. So that is how kids get to actually roll the dice at the end of the class period. Then in the game of Yahtzee, you can roll the dice once initially and then kind of look at your spread. Like, what do you got? So I'm going to actually do this. You can't see the dice. Ooh, did you hear it though? That was the interactive dice. And so on this fake board that I have on one of my computer screens, I got a 2, a 2, a 2, a 5, and a 1. So I'm like, oh, hell yeah. I'm going to hold the 2, the 2, and the 2. So now in the game of Yahtzee, you get to roll again. You can roll up to 3 times. So I'm going to roll it again. I got a 1 and a 5. Well, that's not really that great. I was hoping to get more 2s. But in the game of Yahtzee, you can roll up to 3 times. So I'm going to roll it again and hope that I can get another 2. Come on. I got a 2, a 2, a 2, a 1, and a 6. So if I go to my Yahtzee scorecard, probably my best option is to just, I'll take it as my 2s. So that is only worth 6 points. That's not great. Okay, but it's points. Every point matters in this game, and that's something that you're going to want to communicate to your kids, is every single point matters. Because if you're doing a numeric goal, maybe you're working towards 500, maybe 400 for the whole month. But if you're competing against classes, like if my 7th graders are competing against my 8th graders and one class got to roll and they got a 6, but the other class didn't get to roll, hey, that's 6 points that you got ahead of them in one singular day. Now, my 8th graders wanted to name their class something different besides the 8th grade. And I was like, I'm here for it. I'm here for it. If you guys have a great first day in this competition, I will let you guys name your team something different besides 8th grade. And they had an amazing class period. They met the standard. In fact, I believe they exceeded the standard. And so they came up with the team name of the Low Taper Fade Crusade. What does that mean? I didn't really know. Okay. At the time, I did not know that there was this like trending meme about the low taper fade, which is like a haircut, a trending haircut, I guess. I did look it up. It did seem to be school appropriate, but we understand how memes kind of morph into something different. But at the time, I was like, this is silly, but it felt significant for them. So I said yes, and they were the low taper fade crusade. Now, remember when I said as teachers, we have to be both clear and consistent? My eighth grader said, we want to be something besides the eighth grade as our team name. I said, that's fair, as long as we have a good first day. So the next class period, my seventh graders walk in and I told them that we were starting a new competition. It was a Yahtzee competition. And they said, do we get to name our team? And I was like, yes, I will offer you the exact same deal that I offered eighth grade. If we have a great class period and you meet my specific standard for the day and we get to roll, then yes, you can name your team. Well, straight up, the wheels fell off during that class period. They were not meeting my expectation. I told them very, very clear, this is not my expectation. We are struggling to meet it. I need you guys to regroup. And I gave them the teacher appropriate reminders, the teacher appropriate redirections. And at the end of the class period, we did not get to roll the dice in seventh grade. We didn't. And so I wrote seventh grade on the board as their team name. Well, they came in the next day and they said, hey, if we meet the expectation today, can we rename our team? And I said, we cannot. I was very clear yesterday. This is a one chance only. So for the entire month, they were seventh grade. Was that mean? No. Was I like picking on them? No. I was holding my ground. And I think that's a really important thing that we have to do. It doesn't make us mean. And I think sometimes as teachers, we struggle with that because we're like, I don't want to come off as mean. I don't want to be the mean teacher. I need to be a little bit more flexible. And I think, like, here's the thing. We can be flexible and we can hear the hearts of our kids and we can mold the minds of our kids. We can do those things and still be clear and consistent, right? So for the whole month, it was the low taper fade crusade versus seventh grade. And for the entire month of fantastic February, at the end of each class period, we either rolled and tried to accumulate points as much as we could, or we didn't roll, but every single day was a reset. Now, I want to give you all of the results of how this competition ended, and you're probably thinking, but what does the class get if they win? We're going to get into all of the nitty-gritty details because there's so much more to unpack here. But before we do that, I want to tell you about the Crushing It for Kids course, because this is the last call for the Crushing It for Kids course for this school year. What is the Crushing It for Kids course? It is a 21-day fun, flexible virtual course where you get to get tons of ideas, tons of motivation, so you can end this school year on a good note. I understand that some of us are just seeking simple strategic ideas, exactly like this Yahtzee class competition. And sometimes we've hit this point in the school year and we're like, man, I'm just counting down the days. I'm just trying to get through the rest of the year. What if I told you that we don't have to just get through this last quarter? We don't have to just get to the end of the year. We can actually crush it for kids and make April amazing. We can make May marvelous. And that's not toxic positivity. That's not this like deliberate optimism. This is actual facts. I want you to feel so good when the final bell of this school year rings, and I think that the Crushing It for Kids course could be a really good fit for you, regardless of whether you've been teaching 5 years or 25 years, regardless of if you're an elementary teacher, a junior high teacher, or a high school teacher. The Crushing It for Kids course is for you, and you can earn up to 15 hours worth of official PD credit, but it's last call because the Crushing It for Kids course starts in April. You can check out monicagenta.com/courses. That's www.monicagenta.com/courses to get signed up and join this awesome opportunity for you to crush it for kids
where you will walk away with tons of climate and culture ideas, relationship building ideas, ways to utilize your unique interests, skills, and strengths, and so much more. I put a direct link for the Crushing It for Kids enrollment in the show notes, or you can go to monicagenta.com/courses. I would love to crush it for kids with you during the month of April. Now let's get into some of the nitty-gritty details of this. The question that you're probably thinking is, well, what do they get if they win? How do you determine that? When do you determine that? And those are great questions, so let's dive into it. First of all, what do the kids get if they win? Well, I could pick something. I could decide that. You as a teacher could decide that. But if the whole goal is for kids to meet a certain expectation, don't we want to make sure that they are motivated to meet that expectation? And really, the only way that we can know that they are motivated to do that is by having some sort of reward or some sort of celebration based off of something that they actually care about. Consequences are not consequences unless they care, and celebrations are not celebrations unless they care about it. So I had done some number crunching, some hypothetical number crunching, and if I was doing this during the month of February, I anticipated that a really, really good score for the whole month would be around 400, okay? So what I did was I said, once we hit 200 points, when the low taper fade crusade hits 200 points, and when the seventh grade class earns 200 points in Yahtzee, that's about the halfway mark. And that's when we will discuss what is the reward. Why did I do it that way? One, because early momentum in things is real. You know that. Shoot. Think about goals, think about resolutions. The first few days, the first few weeks, you're motivated, you're into it. It feels, inspiring, right? And so for the first few weeks of anything, there's this natural urge to do well. So I want to utilize that natural momentum. But at about the halfway point, that's when shit gets hard. Okay, so how do you boost motivation? You kind of dangle that carrot of, oh my gosh, you're halfway there. Let's talk about the reward. Well, it's interesting because both of my classes hit 200 right at the halfway point in the month, and they hit it on the same day. Why do I tell you that? Because it's proof that it was working. That's proof that halfway through the competition, both classes were so stinking close that they hit the 200 point mark halfway through the competition and on the same day. Both the seventh graders and the eighth graders were into this. It was working. But what was really interesting was what they wanted was so very different. My eighth graders, this totally caught me off guard, wanted to stay in the classroom and watch like elementary programming. What do I mean by that? They wanted to like watch episodes of Bluey. They wanted to watch episodes of Paw Patrol. These are eighth graders who are saying, yeah, let's watch, you know, essentially the Sesame Street or the Barney of our generation if you're a millennial. And that caught me off guard because never in 1 million years would I have thought that that's what they wanted. Isn't that crazy? Like, what was the actual celebration? Not what I anticipated, but they were super into it. In fact, they're like, do we get the whole class period? And I was like, yes, the winning class, I will give one full class period. So they started talking about it as a group. And they're like, okay, let's list some of our favorite shows. And what they decided is that they were going to watch one episode of Octonauts or Octobots. I've never seen this. I looked it up. It was school appropriate. So one episode of Octonauts and one episode of Shaun the Sheep. Both of these are like cartoon episodes. They're about 20 minutes each. That's what they decided that they wanted to do if they won the whole month. Episodes of children's programming as teenagers. Amazing. Loved it. My seventh graders discussed that they wanted to go into the gym and play a game. And so they started talking about what different games. They threw around knockout, they threw around dodgeball, they threw around kickball. But what we finally settled on was a game that I had never heard of, which is another indicator that I would have never pitched this as a prize because I didn't even know what it was. It's a game called Limo, which is evidently this, it's a mix of like tag and maybe like dodgeball and like freeze tag. The students were super into it, and so I agreed upon it. Limo. So those were the activities. Now, those are both completely free, right? That's going to cost me nothing. However, with that said, I did have students say, would it be possible if we also brought in drinks? And so my life lesson thing went off and I was like, okay, I'm open to spending a little bit of money. And I was really into dice this month. Yahtzee had dice and I had just gotten this dice from Dollar Tree and it was a 20-sided dice. And they said, well, what's our budget? And I said, that's a great question. And I was holding this 20-sided dice in my hand and they said, will you roll the dice to determine the budget? And I'm like, absolutely not. That's a 20-sided dice. I'm not spending $20 on drinks. And they're like, come on, that'll be amazing. And I was like, you guys, what if it lands on 20? And they're like, Miss Genta, there's only a 1 in 20 chance that it lands on 20. And I was like, I know, but $19 worth of drinks? No way. $18 worth of drinks? No way. But here's the thing. I said yes. I don't know why I said yes, because I was like, there's no way. It's going to land on like 5 and or under. I have a 25% chance of it landing on 5 or under, and I'm willing to spend $5 if they win. So the eighth graders, you know, they're striking up deals. They're wheeling and dealing with me, and I was like, boom. But we're rolling it once. So I didn't want the pressure of rolling this dice. So they nominated one student to roll the dice. And you guys, I'm not even freaking kidding you. They rolled the dice and it landed on 20. No lie. Like, how is that even possible? That it landed on 20. Remember when I was talking about being clear and consistent? Well, here it was. I was clear, but we were rolling it once. And now I have to do what I said I was going to do, which is part of consistency. So I said, oh my God, I guess I'm spending $20 on drinks. But then my life skills hat was put on. I was in full college career and life readiness mode. And I said, no, we're turning this into an assignment. Okay. I want to like leverage this for learning. So here's what I'm going to do. I want everyone to get on dollargeneral.com. Okay. Why Dollar General? Because that's the only store in the town that I teach in. And I said, I want you to go on dollargeneral.com. And everyone is going to create a $20 budget. Because $20 worth of drinks, that's a lot of money on drinks. Each of you with tax has up to $20. I want you to create a shopping cart on dollargeneral.com and include anything and everything that we would need for a $20 class party while you guys watch Octobots and while you watch Shaun the Sheep, okay? So, build your carts, screenshot that cart, and then attach that into Google Classroom, and then I'm going to look through all of those, and then we'll vote as a classroom family on which of these carts is the best. But it has to include everything. You have to have enough treats for the whole class. If we need cups, you got to purchase the cups. If we need plates, you got to purchase the plates. So you are basically shopping for a $20 party. Go for it. And that could be a whole nother episode, right? Like, If we are going to do something to celebrate kids, then they should play a role in it. And now they're taking a huge role in it. Are you guys seeing like how dynamic this freaking idea is? And it all started with some dice. So many things woven in, so many skills, so many opportunities. And so then the kids are building these cards on dollargeneral.com. And they're screenshotting them and they're attaching and I'm going through and I'm giving feedback on, yo, you bought 2 liters of Dr. Pepper, but you didn't put any cups in the cart. What are we going to do with that? So there was like feedback involved as well. And so the best cart that ended up winning by class vote
included cups. It included plates. It included Oreos. It included soda. It included chips. And they were able to get bang for their buck with $20. But if the theme of this episode is clear and consistent, well, guess what happens? Seventh grade class walks in. And they're like, we get to talk about what we're doing for the class party. And they voted on limo. And then they said, same thing. Would it be possible to get some drinks? And I was like, here's what I got to do, guys. Okay. We're gonna do let's make a deal. In the last class period, they convinced me to roll the 20-sided dice. Okay. And straight up, it landed on 20. And I want to give you guys the same opportunity to roll the 20-sided dice. But I have a new proposition. Because honestly, I didn't want this $20 thing to happen again. So I said, here's what you guys as a seventh grade classroom family need to decide. Do you want to roll the dice once? And whatever it lands on, you guys will build a budget and do the exact same activity that they did. Or I will give you a guaranteed $10. We won't roll the dice. And I will just say, your budget is 10 bucks. Do you want to do the dice for a chance at up to 20? Or do you want to do the guaranteed $10? And it was so crazy because like almost in unison, all 23 of these seventh graders were like $10. Like none of them wanted to roll the dice. And so it was decided. They had a $10 budget and I put them on dollargeneral.com and they got to build a $10 budget and they went in a slightly different direction. They did candy and then they did like juice boxes, the little barrels. So I love this because both seventh graders and eighth graders are now super engaged. Buy-in is now through the roof. We now have created more motivation and more momentum to get us to the end of the month because I said, hey, what's going to motivate you? Hey, what do you want to do? Hey, what should our class party look like, sound like, and feel like in the event that you win at the end of the month? And can I tell you, on the day before our final roll, the day before this whole competition was over, the score was 390 to 392. That's how close it was. So my estimation of, I think a class can get to 400 was very accurate. And how, that's nuts. 392 to 390 with one day left. That's insane. And on the very, very last day, my eighth graders did get to roll. They didn't have a super strong score, but they got past 400. And so then the other class was like, oh, let's go for a Yahtzee. Let's go big or go home. Risk it for the biscuit. And they were so close to getting a Yahtzee. They had a 5, a 5, a 5, a 5, and a 6. But it wasn't enough to get them to win. But how cool is it that for the entire month of February, my stress level lower, students' excitement level higher, my excitement level every day on my commute home way higher, students' buy-in way higher. Did I end up spending 20 bucks on like Oreos and soda and we watched Shaun the Sheep and Octobots? Yeah, we did, and it was freaking worth it. $20 out of my teacher budget was worth a fantastic February. But remind you, okay, and remind myself that $20 was simply because I said yes to rolling the dice. It could have been free. It could have been completely free, and we just streamed a couple episodes of these silly programs. So, that's Yahtzee. It was a lot of fun. It was so much fun. And I will absolutely be doing it again in the future. And I will continue to do these class competitions in the future because I think they are a simple and fun and strategic way to crush it for kids every single month. If you have enjoyed this episode, I am 1,000,000% confident that you would love the Crushing It for Kids course that is starting in April, and there is still time to get signed up. You can go to monicagenta.com/courses, and there's a direct link for registration in the show notes of this episode. I think it would be an awesome way to have April give you the momentum that you need for May, so when that final bell rings, you are ready to go. Sprint into summer because you deserve that. But I want us to focus on the right now, and it's a really good opportunity within the Crushing It for Kids course. If you have any additional questions about this game or about the course, please don't hesitate to email me or direct message me on social media. I want to thank you so much for listening to this episode, but most importantly, thank you for living this teacher life.